Good morning. It is all about you, Jesus. Amen. As I hear the music this morning, folks, I am in awe of our Lord, as I know you are. I ask for your prayers this morning, that I may honor God in the words that he has me speak, and that he get the glory and the honor for all that he has done and all who he is. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. When you start off our Christian Bible with those words, I am still in awe of everything that happened that first day. If you remember your first day at work, I just wanted not to trip over my own feet or spill coffee all over my boss. I had no idea what to do when I got there, and I'm sure you've been in that position in your jobs. So we can understand that. But I don't think anyone has had a first day like this first day of creation. So much of God's majesty was put on display that day. That day, he spoke, and light was created. Can you imagine that? The power and the awesome majesty of God, that all he had to do was speak, and it was created. But furthermore, he separated that light into darkness and light, and he called that light day and that darkness night. And there was the evening and the morning, the first day. Without that separation of light, how would we know one day from another? How could we count the days? How could we count time? He has done a lot for us, and we are in such awe at what he has done. But God did not just do this for any purpose, because there is purpose in everything God does. He is a God of order and power and majesty. And he doesn't do things on a whim like we may do. And when you go to the book of Romans, it explains to us why God does what he does and who God is. For as you get into the book of Romans, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. And what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse." And so there's purpose behind what God does. Can you imagine that just from creation, everything God created had purpose, not just for us, because we like to think of things in terms of what's in it for me. That's a human characteristic. And God didn't just make it for our pleasure. He had purpose in what he did. And he knew that purpose before he ever started, and he knew it at every step of that plan. But this first light that God created, for me, I will never understand that awesomeness of just being able to speak and that light just appears. But God uses that light not just to tell time, But he also uses his examples in the Bible to help us understand some of the complex things that God has that he wants us to understand. And so light and darkness are things that in the Bible can help us see certain concepts that we might not see otherwise, because we know that God's ways are above our ways. And so in the opening prologue of the Gospel of John, we're going to look at another light, not just the light that came and lit the world and helped us tell day and night, but another light, much more magnificent than just the light that we see every day. And it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth." This true light is why you and I are here right now. We came today to praise his name in song. We came here to worship and to give glory to this God and Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And for me, I have to always look and say, what is this light and what is this grace? The light that Jesus Christ was showing us was not like the first light that we talked about. That light was the truth of who God is. Can you imagine the incarnation and God being here in the form of a human being? You didn't have to hear about him. He was here. The true light was among us. And he taught us all about that true light so that we could see him and we could see the Father through him. And so when we look at that light that Jesus came into the world, this is much more magnificent than just the first light, isn't it? And so when Jesus was ready to leave later in the Gospel of John, and he was talking to Simon Peter and the others in the upper room, he talked to them about why he came and why he's leaving. And he said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." Can you imagine? This is not a theory that we've come up with. People have wasted a lot of time and ink and paper trying to write books and other explanations for the meaning of life. And the meaning of life is standing there with them. Can you imagine that? The more I get to know Jesus Christ, the more I realize just how awesome he is and how his word points to him. And his word has meaning. Just like that light before, when Romans said that it had meaning when it was created so that we would be able to see God's majesty and divine nature and how it was created, now all of a sudden, God himself appears. God himself appears to us. And we can now see God for the first time that we know of. Isn't that amazing that he would come down to us? Isn't it? This light was the light that would show us who God is. And is that all of the story? Is that all God wanted, was just to show us who he was? But we could never see him again after he left? Was that the cruel ending to a story? No, it was just the beginning, wasn't it? For there's other light that we talk about in Scripture. And when we study who that light was, we start to realize that this wasn't just a great story, but every one of us is in that story. And that story is still unveiling every day. Every day across this earth, people are being brought to the light. Every day, Jesus is expanding that light. And what is our part in that? Part of it is that we do what we do every Sunday, and we come here and we learn about him and we sing praises to him. And we serve each other and we try to get out and serve the community. And we honor him. But is that our purpose? Or is there a bigger purpose than just what we do to praise him here and glorify him and love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength and love our neighbors, ourselves? We saw the first light was there to show his nature and his glory. And we saw the true light come. And we saw that glory in its real light, that true light, the Bible says. And we were in awe of it. And 2,000 plus years later, we are still in awe of it. Why? Because we have a part to play. We also have a part to play in the light that God has. And so when we look at the greatest sermon ever preached by the greatest preacher that ever preached, thank you, Skip, I smile too, because it is, and it will always be, won't it? We look at the 5th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, and I notice one thing that is different already from what we do. Have you ever noticed that human beings a lot of times want to tell us what's wrong with us? There's never a shortage of people willing to tell us what's wrong with us or to correct us if they think we've made a mistake, right? But when we look at what God himself did when he sat there before a multitude of people, he didn't start off by saying, "Boy, you're a motley looking crew. What am I going to do with you? I've been trying all these years to get in touch with you, but you're just not getting it." No, he didn't start that way. He started by telling people how to be blessed. How to be blessed in a spiritual sense because of the salvation message. We can be saved and we can be blessed. And somewhere along those Beatitudes there, every one of you will find your place in one of those lines. According to where you are in your walk with Jesus or in seeking Jesus. If you are here today and you're not a believer, you didn't get here by accident. God had a plan in your life. And you are here today because that plan is unveiling. And my prayer today is that you will see the light, the true light. And that every person in here that calls Jesus Christ the light of the world, and who calls you the light of the world, that person that doesn't believe will see Jesus Christ in you today. If he sees us, no one will be impressed. I'm sorry to tell you that. But if he can see Jesus through us, how powerful is that? That Jesus Christ can use flawed people like me to stand over the Word of God and hopefully help someone see the light of Jesus Christ and his salvation message and that eternity that he has prepared for us. Those of you that believe, please be praying that that light will shine forth today on those people that Jesus Christ brought here to see that light. Let your light shine. Down in the 13th verse of the gospel in the chapter, 5th chapter of Matthew, he says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet." That's a pretty strong statement, isn't it? "And you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Isn't it amazing that how the Bible starts in bringing glory to God hasn't changed? And when Jesus Christ came to glorify the Father, that didn't change. And all these years later, every one of you that is a believer has a light to shine. That light is still going forth into the world. When Jesus Christ told his disciples that they would do far greater things than he did, that'd be kind of confusing. You're looking at God, right? Could that one man, Jesus Christ, have gone all over the world in his lifetime? God had much more planned than just Jesus Christ coming and paying the penalty for our sins and being raised from the dead to offer us eternal life when we believe. Salvation was to go on even since Jesus Christ left this earth. And salvation message, the gospel, the good news is going forth because you are that light, that same light that Jesus Christ had when he was here. He is putting small versions of that in every single one of you. I can't understand that. I'm just a redneck from Kentucky. I can't even describe that to you. But I know that I've seen it. I've seen people that could live a life. When it says, "You are the salt of the earth," I have seen people who live lives that testify to God. They live by a different set of rules. They live by God's rules. And they don't stand there when something's going wrong, but they say, "No, God says, thus saith the Lord, and this is what we should do in this case, because that's what God says we should do." They are salt. They flavor everything they come in contact with because they have that standard of God's word that they not only live by, but through courage are willing to stand up and proclaim. And that's not an easy thing to do, is it? especially at work, where people try to tell us the big lie of separation of church and state. I've worked for the government all my life. I've been telling them, that you guys are believing a lie, because that ain't what it says. Better go back and read it again. Salt flavors what it comes in contact with. How you come to work in the morning, how you treat your children at home, how you do everything every minute of every day says something about your character. Your choices have consequence, and they speak of the values that you have in your heart and the goals you have and what God is doing in your life. Every day, someone once said that the problem with Christianity is it's an everyday thing. It's just not something we can get and feel the salvation and the freedom and say, okay, I got my get out of hell free card, I'm good, and I'll just sit and be a pew warmer the rest of my life. That was not the purpose that God had for you. He had something much more special in mind for you. You are going to be the light of God in the world. The light and the salt that identifies God to a darkness that is ever spreading. It's almost a weekly theme in the world now that we see terrorism take the lives of innocent people. And it breaks our heart. But this did not just start one day somebody woke up and decided to be a terrorist. We didn't wake up one day and decide to take Bibles and prayer out of school. We didn't wake up one day and decide that the Bible was wrong and that we allowed laws to change. And we were pacifists when it came to enforcing God's law and saying, stop, I'm a voter, I pay taxes, I need to tell you what we're doing today. It's wrong according to what God says in His holy word. How hard is that for you to do that? It's really hard, isn't it? One of those beatitudes I told you about being blessed, was when you're persecuted. And I guarantee you, if you do that at work, you will be persecuted. But who do you live and work for? Who runs your life? And who are you here to please? It is so easy to be a man pleaser, isn't it? To just bask in that glow of praise from your fellow man and somehow make yourself feel better about yourself. But God says that He is magnified in our weakness. We are not here to feel proud. We are not here for the praise of men and mankind. We are not here for that. Who is in charge of your life today? Who is in charge of that? And how does that salt and flavor your life? All of us, one day, unless the Lord returns, will draw our last breath here on earth, and we will go into the presence of Jesus Christ. When we realize that that day is coming, and we realize where we are right now, will we be able to bow before Him as His servant and hear Him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant? Or would we find ourselves instead being ashamed of the life we led and the self-indulgence that we had in ourselves and in pursuits that our modern society has given us? What my message is to you today, folks, is to see the big picture. The big picture of why you're here and the meaning of life. That's a pretty heavy message. But I got to tell you that these days go rapidly. We're all getting older. But imagine, if you will, some of these children that are here. If you, as parents and grandparents and mentors in the church, can take under your wing these children that are now becoming of the age where they can understand about God, and instead of having the typical drug problem we find on the street, We can have a God drug problem. And that is that every time the church doors open, Mom and Dad drug me to church. And every time there was something going on with the church, they drug me to church. I had a drug problem from the time I was born. I don't even remember it, but when I was born and when she took me home, the next place I went was to church. She drugged me to church as a newborn. But what they're going to see when they hit this church, folks, Mom and Dad might drag them here, and at certain ages they may not want to come here. They may have other things they want to do. But do Mom and Dad set the example and the salt and the light in that home and say, without even having to say, that they value God? I don't have to make you go there. We go there because we want to go there. We go there because we know that what God is doing is the purpose that we're on this earth. And son, I want you to grow up to be a godly man. You cannot get to heaven on your father's or your grandfather's salvation. We all get there based upon our own decisions in life. One of the worst things that you can do in America today is tell people there's a consequence for their choices, or that there's a right or a wrong. I know, because I do it every day. They don't like to hear that. Relative ethics. What's right today may not be right tomorrow. And right is what I say it is. And I can change my mind. God says, no, that's not how reality works. Real reality is that there is a God. There is His Son, Jesus Christ, who came to earth, lived a perfect life as an example to you and others, that was preserved in this book. There was purpose, and you have purpose. Every day that I waste without using it to the fullest is one day less that I've been able to be proud that night that what we did that day honored God. In your morning prayer, when you get up first thing in the morning, I get up early, not because I like to sleep in, but because I like to spend time with Him. Because if I don't, that will color my day, and that will define who I am. And if I can find an excuse to miss that 4:30 alarm one morning, the next morning it's a lot easier to do, isn't it? Following Jesus Christ is a choice. It is a choice to accept the good news in the gospel. It is a choice to ask Him to forgive you of your sins. And it is a choice that you ask Him to be the Lord of your life. A choice. But look at the consequences. Look at the consequences. Not just in eternity. We seem to think of the good news, the gospel, in the present. Oh boy, I'm saved. Okay. Or we'll look at the gospel in eternity. We get to spend eternity with God. But the gospel and the word is a living word. And it's for now. If you're saved, who do you know that isn't saved? If you are saved, are you growing in your faith? And is it witnessed out in your home and in your work and in your community and how your life is changing? Do people look at you and say, something's wrong with that person? He is not the same person he used to be. What in the world has gone on with this person to change them? They're not fun anymore. They don't go to the bar with me anymore. We can't sit around and gossip about the other ladies that we work with or the gentleman that we work with. He won't join in anymore. And when there's something going on, he's the first one to stand up and say, no, that's not right. I'm sorry. But that's not right according to God's law. And I won't dishonor Jesus Christ, and I won't dishonor the glory of His name by participating in wrong. Today, the gospel is being lived out in you. How is that gospel going to look when you draw your last breath and you stand before your Savior? This is not a downer. This started off with blessed. And you're thinking, how can blessed have persecution and all this other revile and all these negative words? And how do you look at that and say, where's blessed in that? What did the saints before us leave us? You look at Hebrews and you talk about people in history that lived for the Lord. That list of people that stand, we stand on their shoulders. How many of you know a parent, a sibling, grandparent, someone that had an impact on your life, and that without that impact, you may be going down another road today? We need to spread the gospel and, when necessary, use words. How you live out your life has more meaning than any words that you can think of to say. And the credibility that you earn and how you live your life goes on with you into eternity when you meet your Lord. This is not a time for you and I to be hesitant. We've had a lot of people say we need a big revival in America. And they've had National Days of Prayer, and they've had Billy Graham, of all people, try to motivate America back into a godly nation. And man, we just can't get there. Well, I've had people that flew into Missoula and said, when I flew in there, it was like this dark cloud was over the town. I don't know what's going on here. There is evil. Just as much as there is the Lord and holiness, there is an enemy that is fighting what you and I were brought here to do. But when that enemy uses persecution and they revile you, stop and think about who's the real person behind that. Who's the real person behind the person that tries to discourage you in your walk? Who is that? And what do I need to do about it? That will change my choice, and that will change my consequence. And so today, I hope that you will take some time and think about the meaning of your life and where that light is in your life. Is it where you want it to be, or are you striving every day for a brighter light? And now that you understand that you're part of that light, that God intends to change the whole world for His glory, does that give you new motivation? I hope so. I wish there was someone here today greater than an old redneck from Kentucky that could put it more eloquently for you. But there is meaning in life, and that meaning is Jesus Christ. And how you live your life today will glorify Him. Hit your knees tonight. Ask Him to show you where you're at in your call and what He would have you do or not do. But ask Him what you can do that will bring glory to Him. Because every single one of us that call Jesus Christ Lord has been given gifts. And with those gifts, we can minister to our other brothers and sisters, and we can minister to a world out there that's dying in sin and has already been destined to that white throne judgment. Don't let Satan win. Don't let Satan win. Go out there and claim one for Jesus. Tell somebody about Jesus every chance you get. Don't be ashamed in the workplace. But be proud of the fact of who you are. Who you are and who you're bringing glory to. And you will be blessed for all of eternity. Let us pray. Father, we are looking today at our life. That's not an easy thing to look at sometimes. And you're asking us today to be truthful with ourselves and with you and about where we stand in that life. Be truthful with us. Be frank with us. And as we transition here from our service to communion, and as we have part in this bread and this juice and this remembrance, may we have a special prayer in our heart that you will help us remember other things as well and remind us of who we are in you. For we ask it for your name, for your glory, and to give our life the purpose that you intended us to have. Amen.
As you can see behind me, we're going to celebrate our remembrance of Jesus Christ today in communion. At Lolo Church, we practice an open communion. You don't have to be a member to take communion with us and to celebrate Jesus Christ. But we do ask that you take communion only if you are a believer, that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And Gary, if you would, what we'll do is the servers will come and we will hand out the bread. We'll pray over the bread, hand out the bread, have a short scripture reading, and then we'll take the bread together, and we'll do that same thing with the cup. So, Gary, would you come and pray for the bread?
Preparing in our hearts to do this in remembrance of what you and your Son have done. As we take this bread, help us to understand the price that was paid for my sin. That I may not have put Jesus on that cross, but Jesus Christ stayed on that cross because he loved me enough to do so. And that's a love I cannot fully understand. But Lord, I know what your word tells us about that day. Oh, Lord, what grievous sin you took upon yourself that we could be saved. And so as we take the bread this morning, help us to understand the price that it cost for us to do this. And we ask it for your name and for your glory. Amen.
Scripture tells us that on the night before he was crucified, the night he was betrayed, that Jesus took the bread and he said, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, 'This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Oh, Heavenly Father, you send your Son to pay a price that we could not pay. And as he was nailed to that cross and his body was bleeding, that blood washed us who believe in his name as white as snow. He cleansed our sins with a penalty that only he could pay, the sinless Lamb of God. So as we take this cup today, I pray that we will drink this and remember this sacrifice that he paid for us, to give us redemption, to make us heirs of his kingdom. And I ask this in Jesus' precious name. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Thank you, servers. Father, we are so blessed that we can come amongst your church, amongst your people, to praise you and to worship you and to remember you. You have provided us with eternal life. You have provided us with the keys to the kingdom. And you did that in the most awesome way. So, Lord, as we go our way this week, this day, let us continue to remember you and the sacrifice you've paid. And as Gary so greatly stated, let us go forth this week and just pray that you will bring opportunity into our path that we might share the wondrous hope that we have. We thank you again for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. And you're